Hi, welcome to Women Unlimited TV. This is Julie Hall, and today I've got my really good friend with me, Joanna Penn from thecreativepenn.com. And Joanna is a writer and authorpreneur, and she is also a fantastic trainer and has done some brilliant courses for us at the for Women Unlimited, and also spoken for us at the Women Unlimited conference. So that's all I'm going to do as an introduction to Joanna, because actually I think she's much better off explaining who she is and what she does. So hi, Joanna.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. I'm really thrilled because I think you are such an inspiration and you've done such an amazing thing with your website and your business that I'm really thrilled to have you on the show talking about how you did it and sharing with us some of the secrets perhaps that we can apply to our own businesses.
Sure.
So do you want to start by just giving us a brief history of your background? So how did you sort of start up the Creative Penn and what were you doing before that?
Right, well, I was a dreaded IT business consultant. So, I basically spent 13 years in the IT industry. I was a contractor, sort of helping people sort out their financial systems in large corporates. So it's really one of the most least creative things you could possibly imagine. And I worked, you know, in the City of London, all over the world, Australia, New Zealand. And pretty much, you know, after about 10 years, I was like, I can't be doing this for much longer. I hate my job. I'm not happy. There's something missing. You know, the feeling that a lot of people get with what they do as a day job. And so I started to write a book. I've always wanted to write, but I never really had the confidence. And I started to write research how I could change my life and change my job and retrain and all of that. And I actually ended up writing a career change book called How to Love Your Job or Find a New One, which basically was, you know, the journey of how to change your career. And in the process of writing it, I started to actually change my own career. And really my affirmation was, I am creative, I am an author. That's basically what I wanted with my life. So I started saying that. After about a year of saying that on the train in the mornings on the way to my day job, it literally was that, I came up with an idea of starting the Creative Penn as a business and as a blog. And I'd been playing with blogging. So I started the site and started to talk about the process of self-publishing because I'd just done it for that career change book. And sort of, you know, so basically 4 years ago, I had nothing at all. And then from there, I just developed really slowly into a speaking, like developing my speaking skills, blogging, creating courses, and then into writing fiction, which is kind of where I am now. So I don't want anyone to think it was like one day I started a business and it was fully formed. It never was that. It was a kind of growing thing over time, and I've only been full-time for a year.
So when was it that you started the Creative Penn?
December 2008, I started the website and the business.
Well, that's you've been going for quite a while then. It'll be 4 years soon.
Yeah, 4 years on the site and 1 year full-time, absolutely.
Amazing. So I think it's really interesting that you were very clear right from the beginning that you wanted it to be a business and not just a website, because I think that's quite often when people start blogs, they come at it from a very altruistic perspective and they want to share their knowledge and share their wisdom. But you took quite a commercial angle with yours. How did you develop that?
Well, I think, for a start, I was looking to change my career. And when I was looking at how, you know, one of my really core values is freedom. And we were living in Australia at the time, but I knew that I wanted to be location independent. So I was researching online businesses and found people who were making money from blogs. And I started some other blogs as well. And the Creative Penn was kind of altruistic because I was just sharing my journey of self-publishing. But then there's very much this idea of, you know, you have to have your passion in your own business because you can't sustain the amount of work you have to do otherwise. Because let's face it, I mean, the first 3 years, I couldn't have afforded to go full time. So for 3 years, I basically worked most evenings, every weekend, you know, on building this stuff. And you can't do that unless you love it. So I did have a vision for a business and I wrote it on my wall. And that was book sales, speaking, and, you know, selling stuff from my website. And that is actually the model I've arrived at now, but I wanted to change my career. And, you know, 1 year out of IT So I guess I have now. I have actually done that. But it was, you know, you say it has been a while. It feels like a long time coming.
Well, it's an amazing story. It's an amazing success story as well, because I think many of us do expect to get started straight away. We want, you know, in 6 months' time, we want to be able to quit our jobs. But 3 years is not a short journey, is it?
No. And I think that's really important. But equally, you know, I had quite high expectations of the amount of money I wanted to make before I gave up my job. So the income has kind of crept up to a point where I was like, okay, I can leave now. But so it did, I did start with making, you know, and I would say to everyone, like, the first $10 you make online from selling something to somebody you don't know is amazing. And then it's at that point you realize this is just about scalability from this point. So if I can sell $10, and I do my business in US dollars, if I can sell $10, I can sell $100. And if I can sell 100, I can sell 1,000, and so on from there. So I really, everything I do now is about scalability, trying to make sure everything I do can be sold once or 10,000 or a million times. So that's kind of my focus.
Yeah, I totally agree. In fact, it's where we're going with Women Unlimited is I'm really into leverage at the minute. So leveraging my time so that I get the most out of it. And I see people like you doing so much with your sites and your businesses that it's, you know, it is a real inspiration for us. How big is the Creative Pen now? How many visitors are you getting a month?
Oh, did you prep me for that question? Because I don't...
I may not have.
Well... Okay, you'll have to edit this then. Well, I can either go and look. I just don't measure.
Don't look at it.
I don't look at that at all. I mean, yeah, I can go and have a look if you want, but just skip that.
Okay, we'll skip it. I'll cut it out.
Okay.
So how do you think you managed to create such a strong following with the Creative Pen?
Again, that's one of those funny questions, because it's like 4 years in and I feel like, yes, I have a strong following, but it was never like, it's not been fast. You know, there's some people who come out the gates with their new site and they have like a million subscribers within 4 weeks. So for me, and I hope this encourages people, but for me, it's just been consistency over time. So I've posted a blog post on the Creative Pen every 2 to 3 days for 4 years. I've done a podcast every week to 2 weeks for 3 years. I've done videos on YouTube every, you know, I've got 150 videos now. On Twitter, I post between 4 and 20 times a day, every day for 3 years. So for me, it's like these little habits, you know, like eating properly and exercise and anything that you, unless you do it regularly over time, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. For me, it's just been this slow build. So creating the following has been consistency. It's been a niche focus. So I only talk about writing, publishing and book marketing. So that's my niche. So I've always done that. And I also think it's about honesty and sharing my personal journey. Mm. I started out, it's really funny, the very beginning posts were very businessy and, you know, third person and, you know, written very structured manner. And now I'm quite happy to do interviews like this and I talk more naturally and I share personal stories. I didn't even put my face on my blog back then. So, you know, I think the connection with my audience has grown through me really sharing what's happened to me. Because at the end of the day, we're not unique. Like, our story isn't unique. What's unique is us.
Yeah.
So, you know, yay, I've self-published, you know, who cares? But the issues that I've gone through and how I market my book and the results from doing this particular thing, I share all of that so people get that authentic feeling.
Yeah, and they feel like they're going on the journey with you.
Yeah, and there are people who've been listening, you know, to my podcast for 3 years now, and they know everything I've been through. You know, people who say that, you know, we met when I wasn't even writing fiction, and it's like people love to come along with you. So you don't have to wait until you're, and I don't consider myself to be a success in my own definition yet. I have my measurement of success and I'm aiming for something, but people think, oh, you've just emerged this way, and no, but we grow over time. And I think if you share the vulnerable moments, like, oh, I've just launched my book and I haven't sold any, that, or I've launched my book and I did quite a tearful video, you know, I feel like my soul is bared to the world.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, this is a big day for me. People resonate with the personal message.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's quite interesting because particularly when, because our audience is mostly business owners, often we're quite afraid to show that sort of personal side. What would you advise, to them, you know, in terms of balancing that commercial face with the personal side?
Yeah, I mean, there is a boundary. And when we talk about authenticity, we do talk about authenticity within a brand. So I very much believe in social karma. What you give is what you get. And I very much believe in a positive attitude. So obviously I have days when I am, like yesterday, I had a difficult day and I was tired and kind of weepy. And, you know, that isn't something I'm going to do a video about because that doesn't fit the authentic brand of me that I portray online. So of course I choose my moments. So the video I did when I was vulnerable at the launch of my book had a reason, because I'd launched my book. So it was a promotional video about my book, but it was also a real, this is how I'm feeling video. But so it was within the brand. So I'd say to people, look, you have to really decide, what do you want to portray to the world? Like, yes, you're an expert, but you're also learning. If you're not learning, then, you know, what are you doing? But, you know, decide on your boundaries and share within reason. So I know people with children like yourself, and they have like pseudonyms for their kids, you know, like Sonic Boom. So that guy, he's a guy, he can talk about his daughter and say Sonic Boom did this. He's not using her name, but he can use the stories about him and his daughter that people resonate with without invading her privacy. So I think, you know, think about those types of issues. Like, you wouldn't, well, you know, but people wouldn't know my husband's name. I don't mention my husband. I don't use his name. His name is not my name. So, you know, that's, he doesn't want to be part of this business. Yeah, just set those boundaries, decide on the brand you want to show, and then be the best that you can be of your authentic self within that brand.
That's great advice. What are some of the challenges that you faced when you were first launching the Creative Pen and your products when you first started out?
Well, I think they're probably two different questions. In terms of launching the Creative Pen, I never launched it. One day I started a blog and I didn't have any followers. I didn't have any Twitter followers. I didn't really know anybody. I had no network online. So one day I started a blog and I describe it as howling into the wind.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you get no traffic. You get nothing. Nobody knows you're there. And you're like, what am I doing? So if people feel like that with their businesses, that's absolutely what happens at the beginning. So I really built things up. But then I did launch a product in my first year, the Author 2.0 program. And there is an Author 2.0 blueprint, which I do give away for free on my site. But the program was like this 12 module, mega, like, whole year's worth of stuff, and it was everything I'd learnt about writing and publishing and book marketing, which was a lot, you know. And I thought, people really need this, and it didn't really sell. And the reasons are, you know, one, I didn't really have an audience at that point, and I hadn't built up the expert kind of image, you know, based on being here long term. You know, people don't take you seriously after 6 months to a year. You have to be around a while. You know, you have to show that you are worth the attention, I think. And then secondly, it was not something that people needed in terms of, it was too big. It was like, here's sort of 4 years worth of information in one mega package. And what I've now done, and what I sell now, is I sell smaller modular courses, because of course someone who wants to write a book is not necessarily ready for the book marketing part of the course. Or, you know, someone who's just come up with an idea for a book is not ready to publish it. So what I've done is split everything up. So I've really learned to, you know, kind of try and take things, chunk things down to where people are in their journey, which I think everyone can probably learn from.
I think you're right. And then how did you build your numbers up? I mean, you mentioned, you know, kind of howling in the wind, and I think everybody feels like that when they first start their blog or their website. How did you draw in that initial audience?
Well, first of all, I learned how to blog. So I paid money for a blogging course from a guy called Yara Starak on Entrepreneur's Journey, which was a fantastic thing. And I learned about, you know, using a theme, a premium theme that is SEO, search engine optimized, and also about an SEO plugin. I also learned about headlines from sites like Copyblogger. And this is probably the number one thing that people get wrong with their blogs. Like, you know, they'll use some... they won't use their own site for a start. They'll use a free blog, and then they don't know anything about headlines. So any article they write, people won't even know what it's about, or they won't want to click on social media. So learning about headlines was critical. And then the SEO plugin, where I learned about, you know, how to use different keywords, I also use. So what happened then is, over time, and Google, Google gives you points for things, and you actually get more points the longer your site's around and the more that you blog in the same niche. So what happened after a few months is, actually, I started to get Google search traffic, and one of my highest traffic sources is Google organic search, because everything I do, I SEO, basically, not in a black hat way, but I just look for what people are looking for and use those keywords. But it's natural within a niche, as you know, you use the right words. So that was one thing. And then second thing is, I started, really, it was Twitter. Twitter and podcasting together. So I started a podcast in order to learn from other people. You know, I didn't have a clue about it at the time. So I wanted to learn how other people did stuff. So I thought, oh, well, if I interview them and put it out on a podcast, that will make them happy, and it won't just be me getting free consulting. Basically. So how I did this, how I found people, was I was started on Twitter, and I just started networking with people, following blogs. Then I would ask them, you know, hi, I really loved this thing you did on this. Can I interview you on my podcast? And people say yes, you know, like, I've come on your show. People say yes, they want to be promoted. And then what happens when you interview someone is, they often will link to your site to promote the interview that they're in. So you start getting incoming links. And that's also like a Google point. You get points for incoming links. So, and then on Twitter, people will tweet you. So basically, it is literally that snowball process. It was a very small, little, tiny thing, and then it rolls and it gets bigger and bigger. And by being consistent over time, it's kind of grown. And what's interesting is, it hasn't stopped growing. And the guys we see, who are the biggest guys on the net right now, who are making six figures from their blog, they've been around 8 years, yeah. 6 to 8 years. So at 4 years, I'm like, yeah, if I'm halfway, I'm halfway to where they are. And obviously they keep growing, but most of them have huge mega businesses now. So I hope people can see that too. It's like, don't think that you're going to be massive next year. It takes time.
Yeah, totally agree. And interestingly, you know, I mean, you say you're not there yet, but you are frequently cited as one of the top 10 blogs for writers. So what more would you want to develop your business, like, in terms of your aspirations for the creative pen?
Well, you know, I obviously want to be the number one site. Ah. Not just one of the top 10. No, I think for me, you know, let's talk about business goals. I said to you, you know, I don't really measure traffic. I don't measure those things. I measure income. So, you know, I make money from book sales, courses, consulting, that type of thing. And so what I want is to have, you know, I have a small business right now, but I want it to be scaled so that I have a more successful business financially, but also my own personal profile. I want, you know, at the moment, like, I've spoken in a lot of places, you know, Bali and Australia and New Zealand, and speaking in Zurich at the end of the month. But, like, I want to speak in America. So I want to be booked to speak in America. So I want to become more of an expert in my niche. And, you know, I do have very specific goals around that, and my fiction writing too. So I think for all of us, we never stop wanting to grow in some way. Like, I don't want employees, I don't want to do that kind of business, but I want to grow my brand.
Yeah. Mm. Now, one of the things I think is quite interesting about you is that you consider yourself to be an introvert. And yet, you are the most amazing networker I think I've ever met. Seriously. Well, you are. I mean, you were. Tell us about when you went to Thriller Fest. You recently hooked up with a very well-known author there, didn't you?
Yeah, two things there. Well, I'll tell you the Thriller Fest story. Thriller Fest is for thriller writers, and Lee Child is one of my favourite writers, and he was there, and he's the president and of the society. And at an evening event, I went up to him and got chatting to him. But basically, I think the whole networking, like my approach to networking, I didn't just go up to him and say, you know, hi Lee, I love you. I love you and your books, you know, I love Jack Reacher, he's amazing, and then stand there. What I actually said was, you know, Lee, I know he's British for a start, and we were in America, in New York. I said, Lee, you know, I've come over from London for this, and I love Thriller Fest, but can we do something in England, and I'd be really happy to help. So for me, a lot of networking is, and hopefully that will come to fruition, so I'm following that up soon. But it was, for me, a lot of the networking, like podcasts, the very first thing I do is offer to help somebody. So I don't go in with what can I get out of it. I go in with how can I interview you about your book, or can I interview you about this success you've had, or can I help organize this event for you, or you know, can I do that, or can, like when I approached you first, it was, you know, can we possibly do some business together that will make us both money, you know. I'm not
always a winner that way.
Yeah. Well, exactly. It's like, how can you be useful to someone? You can't just come out the blue with some, either a pointless comment or how can you help me. People don't want that. It's how can I help you, and also building up people who are bigger than you is a really good way to network. Can I come back to the introvert thing?
Yes.
So I'm really passionate about this because, and I was just talking to a girl before, and I was so guilty of judging her as well, and because she's all over the news and all on TV, and she said, I'm an introvert. And for introverts are basically people who get energy by being alone, whereas extroverts get energy from being with people. And it doesn't, and there's a scale of introvert, extrovert, but also shy, not shy. I'm not shy, but I'm an introvert, so I need to be alone to build up my energy. So when I am going to go to a networking event, or even do an interview like this, because this does still drain energy, I have to be psyched for it. So I have to basically be prepared. I make sure I often rest the day before, or like, you know, when we've done speaking, I've been in bed for like 2 days afterwards recovering. So I have to make sure I diarize things so that I don't overwhelm my energy and make sure I can then be on my own and recharge. Whereas people who are extroverts will actually need physical contact with people, or they're going to go mad, you know. And they're introvert extrovert writers as well, so people who write in coffee shops are like extroverts, you know, surrounded by people energy. But it's it's a fascinating thing, but that's kind of the truth of it.
I just think it's amazing. Yeah, because I'm borderline, but I get a real buzz out of speaking in front of a room, and that kind of energy exchange is really important to me. Whereas I know when you spoke for me that you found it quite hard at the end of the day. You were exhausted.
I mean, I love speaking. The speaking itself is, you know, I'm passionate about speaking, but I can't do it. Like, I couldn't do it as a full-time job. You know, people are a trainer, like every week that's what they do. And that's crazy, you know. So I need to make sure I diarize when I speak and prepare so that I know that energy transfer goes. And you know, you know, I'm a very energetic speaker. So
yes,
I also,
yeah.
Perhaps, you know, someone came to me once and said, let me just give you some energy, you know. And I was like, thanks. Doesn't really work like that for me. But
so, kind of back onto the networking stuff, you know, because you're well connected in the blogging field, I guess. How did you reach out to, you know, the other bloggers, not just the other people that are writers?
That's probably, you know, mainly from Twitter. And with Twitter and most social networking, again, it's promoting other people. So I promote on Twitter about 80% of the time. I'm tweeting other people's stuff. So if there are bloggers I want to get to know, I will tweet their stuff over and over again. And then eventually I will ask them for a podcast interview, and then I'll get at least 45 minutes on the phone with them face to face, like video, and that will generate a relationship. And then I did used to do a lot more guest posting. I don't do so much of it anymore. But, you know, that kind of relationship really works. Also, in Australia, I was in Australia, and there's a really big blogging community in Australia. Darren Rouse from ProBlogger is there, and Yarrow, and a whole load of people like who have quite big blogs. So I actually did meet a lot of those people in person. And then in America now, I've met some of those bloggers in person. So I think it's about taking, if there's someone you want to meet, like, start following them on Twitter, promote them on Twitter, mention them on your site, then follow them up and help them do something, and then try and meet them in person. That's probably my ladder.
Yeah. If you can, not necessarily fly over to the States to meet them every time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I mean, you know, video Skype, we're doing this in London, but I mean, I did it this morning with someone in America, so, you know.
What time was it there for them? It must have been like midnight.
West Coast. Early. Yeah, no, they're good.
Okay, I'm just gonna, so now with going back to sort of juggling it all, because you are a writer, you are massively active on social media doing your videos and your podcasts, and you're also working the creative plan. How do you manage to juggle all that? How do you bring all that together?
It's a good question, because it's really, people have to think about the percentage split they want for their business. And that's something I've really learned this year, because I used to just work whenever I could in the evenings and weekends. But now I'm full time. One of my goals is that I do want to be known as a fiction author. That's what I want to be known as. So 50% of my income is fiction. So I need to focus on fiction. And that's none of that. You don't see any of that, pretty much. Most of that you do, I have to do, and nobody notices until the book comes out, because it's not very interesting if I did a video, watch me write, you know, it's just, it's not interesting. So I pretty much diarize, so I have a physical file of facts that sits here on my desk, and like today is a business day, so I've got 5 interviews today, so I like will schedule all my interviews on one day, so that I, you know, I have a whole day out that's business heads. And then like tomorrow is diarized for the library, so I go out of my home office to the library, London Library, and I will write, and there I don't do anything else. I will hardly even answer my email. I will just write fiction. So, and I do that a couple, so and right now I have 2 days a week when I do business stuff, and 3 days a week where I'm writing fiction, that during weekdays. And then the weekend I normally on Sundays I normally schedule my blog posts, write any articles that I'm doing, that type of thing, so, and schedule my Twitter. So I pretty much block time out to do everything. So my diary is scheduled like way out, and that I think is the only way I can manage to switch my head.
Yeah. Well, you and I have talked about work-life balance before, and because somebody might be listening in and think, oh my god, that's, she's doing nothing but working, right? But you've got a slightly different perspective on that.
Yeah, well, I think this is the whole Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week thing, where that's actually, the title is a good marketing ploy. But what he says is you want to spend 4 hours a week doing stuff you don't like and the rest of the time doing stuff you're passionate about. So I'm passionate about what I do. It's also my hobby as well as my income. So, you know, I'm a voracious reader. So I read, like yesterday I read 2 books because I had a bit of a bad day. Like all I did was read, really. And, you know, 2 novels. But that's also partly my work, because I'm thinking about, oh, wow, so how did they do that point of view? How did they do that setting? That type of thing. So that for me is both fun and also work. But no, I do diarize days off with my husband. But let's face it, when you're building a business as well, I'm not at a point where I can, you know, disappear for 2 months and not do anything. I do expect to be at that point at some point, but right now I'm still building. I'm still in that building phase of getting there. As a fiction author, which I decided to move into 2 years ago, I'm at the very bottom of the ladder where someone like Lee Child is way up the top, you know. So that ladder, as a different ladder to building the business, I've got so much work to do on that, but it's also fun and it's also my passion. So yeah, the work-life balance thing is not so important when you're doing what you love. It's very important when you have a day job. And when I was an IT consultant, I would only work in the office and I would stop working at 5. And that was it. So there I had balance, but I hated what I did. Now I love what I do and I don't have any balance at all. But I'm happy.
Which is great. It's what it's all about, ultimately, isn't it?
It is, it is. And when I, you know, I love doing what I do. I would, if I won the lottery, I'd be doing this, you know? So I don't think you can say much better than that.
And I think that's a brilliant note to end our conversation on, Jo. Thank you so much. What a brilliant interview. You've given us so much to think about and so much to aspire to. I really appreciate you spending the time with us today.
Thanks so much. And people can find me at thecreativepen.com, pen with a double N, or I'm on Twitter @thecreativepen. And please do ask any questions.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks.